You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Tuesday the 30th of July. And we've got a busy day of action. We've got day one of Glorious Goodwood to look forward to, including a Goodwood Cup, of course, Group 1 action on the way. And also to a day two of the Galway Festival as well. There's some quality racing over at Ballybrick to look forward to. Our supporting meetings in the UK come from Beverley, Yarmouth, Worcester and Perth. And you can join Alex Dunn, John O'Connell and Craig Forsyth for all the action on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and Tom Morley is with me. Hello, Tom.
Hello, John.
How have you been?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, not bad at all.
Excellent. You're sounding very laid back, very positive. You looking forward to Glorious Goodwood?
Yeah, I don't mind a bit of Goodwood on the TV. Obviously.
Not going there.
Not going, no. To be honest, I don't think I'll have many runners. Maybe Raucous in the Stewards Cup, probably be about the only one definitely I've got football on.
I'd say Stewards Cup would be like a peak Tom Morley race, surely.
Well, I'd love him to win it. I think it's unlikely. He's not particularly, I would say he's high in the weights these days. But no, first week of the football season, so I'm afraid that takes, not that it takes much to stop me going racing at the best of times. So, but that's my excuse this Saturday.
So we'll get on to talking about Glorious Goodwood and in particular the feature race on day one in a little bit. But we want to start off by taking a look at the Monday jury, which are the questions being asked in the Racing Post every Monday. Of course, we've put those to our pundit that we've got here on the podcast. And so we'll just go through these six questions. We'll start off with the first. Where next with Enable? The International, Yorkshire Oaks or straight to the Arc? This comes off the back of comments from trainer John Gosden suggesting that she's not a definite to run at the Ebor meeting and she may go straight for her attempt at a historic third Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe.
Well, I'm sure we can trust John Gosden to do exactly what he thinks is best for the horse. And I think, you know, it was a tough race, wasn't it, on Saturday? Was quite a tough race previously as well. How she come out of it? I personally, if it was me, I'd probably go straight to the Arc because I don't really see what I've got to gain by running in between. And we know Enable goes well fresh anyway. So I think, you know, a couple of hard races, give her, freshen her up, give her a break, come back and get, that's ultimately the final aim of the season again, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what I personally would do. So I'd skip them and go straight there.
And this ties into the next question. Is there a horse anywhere in the world who might beat her over middle distances? Crystal Ocean went pretty close on Saturday.
It did. But I could have sworn I could have seen Enable's little ears flicking. You know, I reckon there might have been a little bit more there if push had really come to shove in the end. That being said, if Enable is anywhere short of the best on a particular day, Crystal Ocean is certainly not far off, is it? It wouldn't take much for Crystal Ocean to get past. Obviously, it was sad about Sea of Class. I mean, that would have been an interesting one going forward. Other than that, I'm struggling. So I think I have got no name on the top of my head to who I think.
It's not like there's a horse who's absolutely standing out in the three-year-old division at the moment.
No, and I can't think of anything from overseas that I'm thinking, yeah, that's going to really serve it up to her. So to be honest, I think Crystal Ocean, of those that are around, may be the one if she ever doesn't turn up with her A game.
Next question concerns another horse we saw putting a good performance over the weekend, and that's Elecam. Do you think York Stakes winner Elecam can be successful in Group 1 company, asked the Racing Post?
I mean, it had a tricky three-year-old year, didn't it? I think it was the stress fracture rather than anything else. Obviously, was a short year because of that. I know there was a wind up. Mark Johnson's talked a bit about that and suggested that well, he'd like people to shut up about it because he doesn't think it really makes a lot of difference or has made any difference to the horse. It's more that quite clearly the horse is just in better form and in good shape this season. I mean, Ad Dave didn't get the best run at the weekend.
He's been beaten far enough.
Yeah, but York is a strange track in my head. It's if you give first run to something, it can be pretty hard to make it back. So I'm not sitting here thinking Adabe's going to, you know, lower Elecarm's colours for certain next time, but I think it will be closer. Do I think Elecarm can go and be successful in Group 1 company? Possibly on the continent. Probably not here. I think everyone knows that there's races that can be farmed out a little bit when you go a little bit further afield. I think at the moment, Elecarm would be short in this country. Also, I suppose if you go abroad, we know it goes on soft ground quite well. So, you know, you quite often get some cut in France and places like that, don't you? So that might help too. So possibly overseas.
Next question. Which two-year-old are you most looking forward to seeing at Goodwood this week?
I think I like Pinatubo, just because I like him, just because he's very good.
Yeah.
So I think that will be interesting. And I'm looking forward to seeing Vizinari as much to see as who the further chapter in who's going to be right as to whether it's the second coming or just all right. So I'm that's more curiosities getting me. I'm looking forward to seeing the Quinn's horse Liberty Beach in the Malcolm because looked pretty good at Sandown. I'm, you know, I suppose originally I would have had a runner in the Malcolm with Strive for Glory, but as he has been sold to race in Hong Kong, he is in quarantine at present, so he won't be going.
It's a bit difficult to run in.
He won't be seen, I would think, ever again on these shores. But so I think so. Certainly for the class, Pinatubo, Liberty Beach, definitely, you know, it's exciting for the Quins, I think. Vizinari, curious.
Are Tudon Hot and Batash both bankers?
I don't really like bankers.
Do you like these two horses?
I think, but in my head, Batash is more of a banker than Tudon Hot. I think there's a number of reasons why Tudon Hot faces some decent competition for a start. Whereas I do think, so I wouldn't say that one is, but I do think Batash, it's hard to see him getting beaten.
Neither of them are the most reliable, really.
No. I just think with Batash, now that Blue Point's gone, and Goodwood sort of suits Batash's style of racing, I'm just not sure how much strength there is in that sprint stakes. You know, there don't seem to be a lot of challengers at the moment. So I would say, you know, if I was having to pick one out of the two, I'd pick Batash and hope that he doesn't boil over. But he seems to have been behaving a bit better this year, so that would help me.
The answer to the question, are they both bankers, is no.
They both might win, but I wouldn't have them as both bankers.
Right. The final question, well, more of a statement than a question or a request. Give us one for Galway. fan of the Galway Festival, Tom?
Not really.
Ever had a runner?
Nope. Ever going to?
You've had some runners over in Ireland.
Yeah. Like that race, Strive for Glory won at Tipperary before Liberty Beach won at Sandown. You know, both listed races, double the money. So, you know, I go where the money. I'm happy to go for the money, but it does cost a lot to get them there. That's the only thing. Now, obviously, it would be fairly pointless giving a horse that runs on Monday, because Monday will have gone when people are listening to this.
We're recording this early Monday afternoon.
So, and I've not, you know, you look at big festivals, don't you? Well, the Galway Festival, trying to work out who's going to run what, where, and type thing. I mean, it has to be one of the hardest things around. Now, I thought I'd go for a little horse. It's in a 55 to 70 race. But I've got up here, and I've seen it's been drawn in 18, which isn't usually good at Galway, probably over any distance. It's going to be Spruce Meadows, which is in the 8-10 at Galway, on the Tuesday. I just feel that it's been running over a variety of trips, like they've been just trying to get it down so that it gets in this race. And it's now in this race. It's got a rubbish draw, which well, be a bigger price, won't it? It's won at the course before. I think it might have won at the festival about 3 years ago or something like that. So, there you go. Spruce Meadows.
There we go. A winner's a winner, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the Monday jury. We'll get into your two selections for Tuesday's action shortly. But before we do that, let's have a quick chat about the Goodwood Cup. Of course, Group 1 we've got coming up on the first day of Glorious Goodwood. Stradivarius looking to win this race for the third year in a row. It'll be, I believe, only the second horse to win it three times and the first to win it 3 years consecutively. And it's currently 4-6 at time of recording with us here at William Hill. 130 cross counter, DXB 5-1, 14s for Southern France, 16-1 and bigger for the rest. Fair to say, I think, Tom, that compared to maybe last year, there's a little bit more strength and depth in the staying division this year. But does that mean Stradivarius is going to be beaten?
I would say, look, Stradivarius is the most likely winner. Would I be rushing to back him at those prices? Probably not. You know, I might try and find something on an each-way alternative which might yield, you know, more profit. But I think he is the most likely winner. As you say, I agree. There's definitely more strength. Obviously, you've got DXB going there, and that did run really well at Ascot. And it's tough. You've got Cross Counter, who's done his globe-trotting, come back, was possibly a little bit, perhaps wasn't best positioned at Ascot. I think maybe been a little bit too far back at some stage, but, you know, that's a very good horse in its own right. And then I think there's the other little conundrum, which is the three-year-olds. They get a lot of weight, don't they?
And this is exactly what Stradivarius used to his advantage a couple of years ago when he beat Order St. George in this race.
So, you know,
or was it Big Orange? Can't remember. One of the two. Anyway.
Big Orange, yeah. I think. That's throws in that little complex sort of task, trying to work out whether that's going to be enough to help those horses go forward. And I think Andrew Balding has openly said he's quite hopeful that Dashing Willoughby will run a big race. And I think Stradivarius will win. I think he's the best horse. I think it will be great to see him get the three. But if I was perhaps having a little play on the race, I might be looking at Dashing Willoughby each way.
And currently 16-1 at time of recording with us here at William Hill. It looks to be a good race, this Goodwood Cup. Look forward to it. See if Stradivarius can win it for the third year in a row. But you've got two more selections for the day's action from Tuesday, Tom. You sound like you're raring to give them to us.
Yeah. Sort of two contrasting ones. The first one's at Goodwood, in the first race at Goodwood, 150. The 1 mile, 2 furlong handicap. I mean, this is ultra competitive. I mean, there's a whole host of runners who, you know, people can say nice things about and who almost certainly will be looking for them to run well. My selection, however, is going to be Jazeel. Now, I don't want there to be any more rain, and I probably hope the ground does dry out a little, but at the moment it should be all right. But there's no doubt the four-year-old gelding probably wouldn't want soft ground. He was progressive last year for Mick Shannon, closed out the season, a win at Newmarket in the Silver Cambridgeshire. Went to the sales last October. I mean, he was bought back for 130 grand, but they must have done a private deal because he's turned up for the present connections this season. And since he's been gelded, he's just been a model of consistency. Close at Newmarket, same again at Epsom. Keen at Sandown, but he still won on the bob. He's just a tough nut. He likes a decent pace, which you'd think he'd get in this race. There's a lot to like about him. I mean, last time at York, he was held up. You often get the case, don't you, at York? It's hard to make up ground if they're held up. They don't come back. So I forgive him. I forgive most horses, York underperformances, to be honest. I don't think he ran badly. You know, he's got course experience. He's got Jamie Spencer back on board. It's competitive, don't get me wrong. You know, you've got Setting Sail at the front end of the market, but should that really be so much shorter than Jazeel in the betting? I'm not convinced. He's got a good chance, sure, but I just don't see there's that much difference in their chances. Old rival Berenger, surely that will go well. Soto Sisler, love that horse, down in trip this time. So, you know, it's ultra competitive, but I just think Jazeel's a really tough nut, and I can't see why he shouldn't go well unless there's a monsoon and it goes soft.
Should just mention we've got some prices. These are time of recording. Setting Sail 7-2, the favourite. 15-2, Berenger. Jazeel 10-1. Sotos is the 10-1. It's 12s then for Johnny Drama and Nicholas. And it's 14-1 and bigger for the rest. So 10-1. Happy with that, Tom?
Yep, happy with that.
Okay, so what's the other selection then?
The other one's a duller selection, I think. We're going to Beverly for the 350. The 5 furlong, 0-75 handicap. And I'm going back in with Ginger Jam. Ginger Jam's back at Beverly. Other than a win at Thirst back in May, you know, this gelding's been enjoying life at the quirky track of Beverly. Hadn't run here before June the 25th. Drawn 14, soft ground, 5 furlongs, finished late and fast, travelled nicely on the outside of the pack. That was off 64. 5th of July, 5 furlongs, fast ground this time, Beverly, Izzy Clifton again, held up, stayed on really strongly again. 22nd of July, today's jockey Faye McManaman, drawn 8, held up, switched to outside. It's like just a repeat button, basically. Flies home once more. Yeah, £5 penalty, draw 10. Not really that bothered, because it doesn't seem to bother Ginger Jam. I think Ginger Jam likes coming on the outside. You could be more worried if it was drawn low, to be honest, and get into some trouble with ones coming back on top of him. But he loves coming wide. Ground is good. All ground seems to cover like anyway. At some point, he'll probably stop improving. But another class 5? I think it's here for the taking. Drop to 5 has really been the making of him at this track. And given that Billy Dillon's in shocking form, Restless Rose is disappointing, Rosina's out of form, Buccaneers Volt's out of form, Debauchery did actually beat Ginger Jam at Thirsk and get some cheek pieces. I mean, that's regularly sent off a short price. I think Connections must expect a little bit more from Debauchery than what we've seen. So that could run well, I guess. Karat, Arnold, they seem to need to find plenty more. Don't be fooled by the 3 in Packington Lane's last outing. 3 means last in this instance. And Burton Wood, that needs more as well. So when you've got a horse that's absolutely thriving, Ginger Jam, and you've got pretty much all the rest not, I'll go with Ginger Jam, thanks.
And that's in the 350 of Beverly, which you mentioned. Yeah. I don't know if we mentioned the time at the beginning there. So that's the 350, the fourth race on the Beverly card on Tuesday. You can hear it live on Racing Radio in addition to the action from the first day of Glorious Goodwood, day 2 of the Galway Festival as well. We're also at Yarmouth, Worcester and Perth over the course of the day. Join us then. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And Tom, thanks for being with us today.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.